Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've been found guilty.
He's guilty, y'all. Love after maca.
Of love in the first degree. But I don't mind.
Sure don't.
As long as you're with me, a judge and the jury, when they heard my plea, you know they sent me up the river,
straight up that brick wall, gay up.
They put the blame on me, lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. Prisoner of love. Love after lockup, y'all.
Watch it, y'all. Those little Debbie cakes, they go everywhere.
Nothing like a jumpsuit.
Thank you for calling Capital One. This is Shelby. Can I help you?
My name's Chance. I'm just calling to check to see how much I have left on my statement. But how are you doing, sweetie, with that sweet voice?
I'm good. My daughter's sick today, but my mom's taking care of her.
That's great.
Let me look up your account.
Listen, yeah, I just need $40. I just need $40 on my card, please.
Looks like you got $11, honey. So you need to find enough. You need to pay us some money. Looks like you're a deadbeat.
Honey, what's the color of your eyes?
They're a hazel. They're a hazel. But, I don't mind a good evening at Steak and Ale if you're offering. My mama can watch my daughter.
Oh, never mind. I got to go. Bye.
Thank you for calling Capital One. I'm glad your brother's dog's barking ruined it. Yes.
Zeta, hush.
Let the dog out. I've told you.
Well, my brother just got home. I said, calm her. Dog just ruined our theater. Ruined it.
Also, I don't know why a dog's owner coming home makes the dog bark.
I get excited. How many times have you had to bark when your daddy came home?
That's a completely different reason. I'm excited about getting a bath.
Excited about getting a bath, y'all.
But whoa. Not in water. I've been recently dewormed.
Dewormed.
So I don't scrape my butt on the carpet anymore.
You're about to get your anal glands expressed.
It's a job that takes a very,
very long
hand.
Time. Y'all, this is life during lockup. And
life, no. You've already fucked it up.
What
life
is it again?
After lockup.
Life
Lilu.
Lilu. Lilu. Like Lilu. After. Okay, I got to write that down or I'm going to keep fucking it up.
You're still fucking it up. You write it down all you fucking want.
You're getting this on the free feed, y'all, because this is the first episode. If you saw the video of us, doing this podcast on social media, you might think that we're doing this on, we're not. That was just for us to make some social memes. So it's not on the Intimate Portrait. It's just an audio on the $8 tier. But this first episode is for all of y'all just to get a little tip.
This is Lilu, Life After Lockup. Sometimes we get real greatest hits in this series.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some episodes are a little poo-poo platter heavy. They're trying to setting the tone. We unfortunately have 8 fucking couples this season.
There's a lot.
We only saw 6. I think it's too many too. I think 7 is too many.
I do want to say this. It is not, y'all, this is not a happily ever after.
No.
I want to tell people, it is not that. Life After Lockup is such a better, it's not, because mainly because these people have real dramatic shit going on in their lives. Believe me, y'all, Puppy and Amber are going to deliver. They always do. Brittany and Marcelino are going to deliver.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed they're on this season after what we saw with last season. I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that they're on this season. I have a feeling Derek and Monique are going to deliver too. At least Derek's family.
Well, see, I just had a, boy, y'all, we've all been there in our 20s. You know when you're sitting at your table and you just pull out all your credit cards when you were like 22 years old and you call them all and be like, how much do I have left on my balance? And but back in our day, y'all, we didn't have automated.
No. Shelby was telling you that you hadn't paid for 3 months later, and she was telling you about her hard life.
She was, and we had to sit and listen to it and then be shamed that we only had $5 left on our credit card. I couldn't even go to Blockbuster.
We need a payment.
Yeah, what's going, honey, what's going, do you have a mama and a daddy?
I will say, the credit card companies that I always talked with, they were always nice. And sometimes their call centers were like in the most rural places. And like Melinda would talk to me and I said, where are you? She's like, I'm right here in Rock Gap, North Carolina. And I would basically say, I just got to know, what's that like? She's like, oh, there's not much that goes on here, honey. We got 3 stoplights and an old dog that sits out on the porch of the Quick and Save. That's about it here in Rock Gap. I don't think Rock Gap is a place, but it probably is. Rock Gap.
Jenny McBride just opened a tanning salon down the street, though. We're excited.
And now most of them are in India. So if you get a call, if you need to talk to someone, just because that happened about 10 years ago. And
if you're Mother Poodle, you think you always get the same person.
I will never forget this when she says, it's the same person. I'm going to get her. And I'm like, there's a billion people in India. Probably 50,000 working at this call center.
But it's not
the same woman. But boy, she's like, now she's just messing with me.
God, Jay Bird, I think you're wrong.
She can't understand my accent.
But anyway, so yes, we're excited, this was kind of just a bland first episode. So yeah. I wish they would have.
It does get better.
Yeah, I wish they would. Now, I will say, I did not see this turn coming for Sean and Sarah.
You mean her going to meet her baby daddy?
Yeah.
I think Sarah is a very enterprising young woman. And
you know what? I think she
is making a life for her and her children. I don't understand her attraction to Sean. I do know that their baby looks ridiculously like Sean. And it's unfortunate.
Well, maybe she'll grow out of it.
But come on. As soon as you saw that baby, you're like, well, that's Sean's baby. Definitely.
Yeah. Devin looks like Sean. Hopefully she doesn't grow up and just do that face like he does where it looks like he's breathing through his ears.
Yeah, that lip is something that no one can fix.
Y'all, and if he's not fucking her, that's the one thing we said he does well, y'all.
He's got like 11 children.
That's all he can do well. Anyway, hey, speaking of the Love After Lockup multiverse, if you have not listened to our interview with Justine and Michael, then you should.
It's out. It's on our free feed. You get so you can listen to that too, even if you're not on Patreon.
Exactly. That is on our free feed.
We had a great time. They're shaping up to be a couple with longevity, I believe. And
I think so too.
Her Justine's story was so compelling this season. I the thing about her, because sometimes with Lalu, you can feel people faking it a little bit. I don't think she's faking.
No, I don't.
I think all these are authentic feelings that she's going through.
I think really, especially if you listen to our interview where we got to ask them some questions that we talked to them about their process of Michael readjusting and things like that. And you listen, I don't want to go into it because I want you to hear it from their words, but really, I think they, again, we've talked about this on the show, like they are way more grounded than a lot of people on this show.
Oh, but, yeah.
But who knows, as you know, a lot of us would have said that about Brittany and Marcelino. Of course.
Yeah. I still can't believe that happened last season. But it almost renders this season moot. Like, take a season off. Let us miss you.
I agree with that.
It's like, come on.
But I think for us,
Andre and Elizabeth, take a season off.
But I think for us, that would be like, well, for like if Wah was here, Wahima from DocuSweeties, who's watched the show from the beginning, Brittany and Marcelina are like OG. And so,
yeah.
That's where we kind of jumped in at season three. But can you believe we've only technically covered two seasons of Love After Lockup?
Technically, yes.
Yeah. Feels like we've been covering this show for 5 years, it feels like.
Season one was pretty short, though, and season two was long. But we've covered kind of probably more than half of it. But yeah, it does feel like we jumped in, and maybe if we have time, I don't know when that will be. Maybe we'll go back. We've talked about if we finish the 90-day multiverse, going back and doing Love After Lockup. But who knows?
Who knows?
I'll decide when we get to it.
Or we'll decide.
Sure, we'll decide. What did I say?
Y'all, if you're listening to this now, then Poodle got out of jail after his appearance at the Golden Crappies. Hope you enjoyed him.
Oh, it was so much fun. The Golden Crappies. It was especially fun when...
What was your favorite part?
I think it was when...
I want specifics.
It was when Maya from Summer House and... Ryan, the chef from Below Deck Down Under, Dutch Doored me.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, hope y'all watch that on their moment. We're not recording this before that at all.
We were on stage, so hopefully you saw it.
Hopefully you saw it. Also, we want to remind people, Love is Blind.
And Maya gave me cookies after.
Oh, Jesus. Love is Blind Season 4, March 24th, y'all. It's coming out. So that's going to be on our $5 tier of Reality Gaze Plus. So if you are listening to Love After or Life After Lockup, you will get it. We will be dropping Season 2 as an edging, a Love is Blind edging.
A little bit of a ball tickler. All the way till the debut where you can completely climax. We'll finally let you. It's like if you've seen those like penis cages, we're keeping you in one of those. I think I'm in a weird area. I've been watching some weird porn lately.
Watching or living it. My penis can't be caged. Thank you very much.
I don't know. I just get stuff in my inbox and watch it.
Is that what you're calling your asshole now? Your inbox?
Inbox full.
You've got dick.
This mailbox is full.
Spam, spam.
For a while, there was a time when I could not figure out how, like, my inbox for my voicemail was full, and I couldn't get back into it. So every time people called me, they would say, they would text me, like, your inbox is full, so I can't leave you a message. I'm like, this always needs to happen. I don't want to listen to someone's message. Just text me or send me an email. God.
Don't send me an email.
Don't
text me.
Don't leave me a voicemail. Fuck off. This is 2023.
It is. It is. All right. I think that's all the announcements we have. Are we ready?
Yes. Should we just jump in?
Let's talk about Lindsay and Blaine. God, he was hot.
I just need to say, he needs to get a new haircut.
He does.
He would be so fucking hot with a different haircut.
He's
hot now.
What kind of haircut would you want him to have?
I don't know. Like a fade. Like a fade, a little short, a little bit longer on top. He'd look good with that. Or even like...
Are you wanting him to get kind of more of a hipster type of haircut so there might be a chance he looks like he could somewhat maybe sleep with you?
Yeah, kind of.
Because it's a very, I think you're just...
No, I could get him. He'd be talking about, I'll always love my grandmama for taking care of me. And I'm like, me too. I was raised by my grandmother and Possum Holler too.
You were
Tell
not,
me more.
Though.
You know what? It doesn't matter. And I'm not from Possum Holler either, like he is. I'm making that up, by the way, but I'm now saying that Blaine is from Possum Holler, Possum Holler, Mississippi.
Wow.
All the way from Possum Holler, Mississippi, Lindsay.
He is hot, though.
Y'all, he's a country boy, though, who will fuck you down. God.
He's pretty hot.
Like, back up, because he's going to go to town.
He is.
What was interesting is, and you know, if you didn't watch last season's with Lindsay and Deontay, she was with Deontay, and then this season now she's living with Blaine but he also is former was incarcerated at one point, and
that relationship we should know was real. Deontay said at our show in where were they?
He said it was real.
He said even to us backstage, like, that was real for him.
Yeah.
He thought Lindsay was treating it real. And I bring that up because she kind of says later on when she's like, at least Deontay didn't lie to me. Because that's right. One thing a simp won't do. A simp won't lie.
Simps don't lie.
Simps don't lie. I do miss him.
I know. He was such a sweet person.
Oh,
and so tiny. And he was wearing like a My Chemical Romance shirt. And I was like, oh, honey, you're just a nerd. I love that for you.
I'd hit it.
He was so sweet the whole time.
He was. He's very sweet.
Oh, anyway, y'all, they've been dating for 8 months. And Blaine has had he says, I was a bad guy in my youth, too.
Lindsay says their honeymoon period hasn't worn off, y'all. And
which
that's
means
a big deal for
he
someone
good.
That means he fucks good, but that's great for someone like Lindsay because, y'all, that's Lindsay's thing. Is she gets bored, she loses the excitement, and she hasn't lost that with him.
I feel that, boy. when she's just going like, ooh, but y'all, he fucks her good, and I think what's interesting, Lindsay is. I think I mentioned this on one of our podcasts that she's enrolled in college again. She's enrolled at Ole Miss. So she's going back to college because she was in college for a year, but she just went buck wild, fucking nuts, crazy, and got on drugs and then basically became a kingpin and was running all the drugs in Southern Mississippi.
I bet she'll do really well because, again, Lindsay's fucking smart.
Lindsay is extremely intelligent. I've moved. It's interesting. Where Lindsay, when she's on drugs, terrifies me. Lindsay, when sober Lindsay is extremely compelling, and she could have been an actress, and I root for her, and I am entranced by her. I love her. She's very interesting to me.
I love her too.
She's got some new ink on her arm.
Good for her.
They've been dating for 8 months, and it's good, and they bought a new house, and they're fixing it up, and Blaine says,
every time I tell her how I truly felt, it's like a magnet to metal.
I'm not making fun of it. Y'all. He kind of talks like that.
Like a magnet to metal.
The way he talks, though, it's even hard.
It's hot country boy.
I don't speak good words good. Like, well, growing up in Possum Holler, I won't really talk pretty. Oh.
I bet the way he whispers in your ear is just sexy.
Oh, yeah. Just a beer breath.
I think
that just sent me somewhere.
Yeah, that just sent you. You got to get laid. I got to get laid. One of my friends asked me, said, oh, you're going to hook up with someone at the wedding? 300 people are going to be. And I went, in Ardmore, Oklahoma? No, thank you.
And they'd probably be related to you.
They'd probably be related to me, and they're not going to have any of their teeth left. If they're gay here.
Don't come back addicted to meth. Anyway, he says, I've done a lot of bad stuff in my past.
And he's ready to come out because they go see.
Tyler Moss, ponytailed attorney. Oh, he is ponytailed. It's a choice for 2023.
How would you describe Tyler? You know what? I'm going to give you a chance. Describe Tyler Moss in 4 words.
He is 4 words
or however you want. I don't care.
Loves Christian metal.
Petra loves Petra.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian metal. Big thing for him. Cause he used to like really heavy metal and then he got kind of converted because he married his wife and some people at his wife's church introduced him to Christian metal, and he's really into that now.
He plays in a band too, right?
Christian metal tribute band. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Bass player.
Ah, he does seem like a bass player.
He is the bass player in a Christian metal tribute band. There is nothing. I know that for a certainty.
Have you ever fucked a bass player?
Oh yes. They know what they're doing.
Oh, wait. You almost fucked the one we had in Cabergay you wanted to fuck. I think you did.
No, I didn't fuck him. I don't shit where I eat, honey.
That is not true, honey. You don't now, but in your early 30s and 20s.
That is true.
You shat like a dog with diarrhea where you ate.
But I didn't really
like
see it as that.
Like a pig in a cage, just covered in shit.
Just eating my own poop. Anyway... Tyler Moss, ponytailed lawyer at law, is there to this. It also seems like Tyler probably went through a lot of bad shit, probably listened to metal too much, and then probably went back to law school. He's also saving up for a pool for his family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs that 15 grand.
Because his wife just keeps saying, Tyler, I need something to do with the summer and these kids. So we find out some
little Kinsley just won't shut up about coming back from Aikido.
No, it's true. And Kaisley, Kinsley and Kaisley.
and little Bradensley.
I will say I was proud of, we went to eat with my nephew and he said, we're not having kids. Nobody's putting pressure on me. He's like, we're not having kids for a long time. We're going to get married and have fun. He said, but I'm telling you this now, we're not having kids names that sound like some type of Axton or Ixton he's like, we're not doing any of that shit. Yeah. Gave me hope.
Sorry if y'all have a Braxton or a Brixton or a Mixton or a Fixton or a
Fixton. What's your kid? Fixton.
You know, I don't. I'm telling y'all.
We're going to get letters. We need to stop.
Test out these names in big groups of people. Because some, you, I guarantee you, one of you has a friend. One
and
of
not,
you with
not
with
just
these,
women at your these, Baptist church.
No,
not
no,
just
no.
Them.
One of you has a friend that heard the name of your child and went, God, why didn't she ask me about that? I would have been the one that vetoed that. And some of you say, but it's my child. I'll do whatever I fucking want, blah, blah, blah. Well,
that's true.
Your child has to walk around with the name. Just think about that. That's all I'll say.
Anyway, don't post about it in the Facebook group because somebody who has a kid named Braxton always types in all caps.
Braxton's old hat now. Like I know a lot of Braxtons. But
you know what? If poodles fucked someone with your name, then it's okay.
It's okay because there's a lot of those. But I would field test these names, y'all. Don't just field test it with your best friend because they're not going to go there. Field test it with someone you barely know.
We got to move on.
I agree.
Okay, let's talk about Blaine's.
He's got an update on his charges. He's got two indictments: possession of meth and the gun possession you had, and possession of codeine. It looks like
hydrocodone. Now, but what's worse, we find out he's a habitual offender.
I'm a habitual offender.
Meaning the lawyer says, and the Lindsay explains this. She's like, he didn't tell me this. So basically, y'all, this is Lindsay. This is Lindsay saying. Lindsay saying he's a career criminal.
I think the funny thing is the trick here is when she says like it she only Lindsay will Lindsay's holding on to everything this guy is telling her because she's thinking this guy is the one guy in my life who's not going to dick me over, who's not going to be a toxic person to be in a relationship with,
and that's going to keep her on the straight and narrow.
So that's why she reacted the way. It's not the cognitive dissonance of her having a problem with someone with lots of charges. Because as she said, she's like, it's good to be able to go to the lawyers because usually we're talking about keeping me out of jail. But now we're talking about Blaine's charges.
Yeah.
So that's why she too. Has that kind of visceral reaction to it that she has to get up. And she kind of bursts into tears.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, y'all, if she's faking that, she needs to be an actress. She really does.
Get your degree first, Lindsay.
I agree. And she says that the lawyer, by the way, the lawyer says, by the way, I need my $15,000. little Brinsley. We got to do something with little Brinsley.
Uh oh.
She's starting to write on the walls.
Occasionally, he's going to have to go on the free lunch program.
So, anyway, Lindsay runs out, and she says, not having any money and not having enough money and not feeling safe is a big trigger for me. And then I want to go do something. Basically, I want to do criminal activity because I need more money. And then I go to jail. So I kind of don't know where I am right now. The ability for Lindsay to process what she is feeling and what the repercussions of what she is feeling and what those triggers are and what they will cause her is a real good sign of someone who is kind of further in recovery than a lot of other
people.
It's
a very good sign.
I felt good about that when I saw that.
I think I feel pretty good about her, but I understand. I think her reaction is so valid. And like when she's yelling to Blaine, she said, he's like chasing her. Cause like, Lindsay, get in the car.
Get in the truck.
She said, I could have stayed with Deontay. Like, you're lying to me. He's like,
look,
no.
You're being stupid.
And she walked and he drives away.
Anyway, she says, now I'm back in the old same toxic relationship cycle where I'm being lied to and blah, blah, blah. I think by the end, they're going to settle things. It's too good of a dickin', to be honest. And she's a dick pig.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a good guy. He doesn't seem to be. I think now that he's not messed up on drugs.
I think he's trying to do the right thing. But yeah, it's.
I learned a lot of good lessons in Possum Holler.
Possum Holler.
I wonder if that's an actual place.
Probably. I bet so. All right, let's talk about, we'll do Derek and Monique and then we'll take a little break. But since it's free feed, but let's talk about Derek and Monique first. Derek is with his still fucking sisters. Horrible sisters.
Sisters.
They're awful. They're buying gifts for Monique. They're in Cleveland, y'all. And
they're already fat shaming her, asking for a scale. And also, I know this is not part of this the storyline, but it's just the way, like, for the sister, the one sister to say she's not a, she's, what did she say? She said something like, she's not the type of woman I like, or she's not a real woman.
No,
or,
one woman said, I hate their relationship. And Elizabeth said, no, I don't necessarily hate it. That's a strong word. I strongly dislike it. And then she's like, you know what? I don't really like it when a woman is taller than a man. I don't like those kind of relationships. These people. Oh, they're awful. And
they're awful.
The thing about it is, I know that these sisters and this side of the family just wants to be on TV. Yep. They're not even treating him with kindness. They just want to, they're trolls, y'all. They're the living embodiment of trolls.
Yep.
And so they're always trying to start something. So when Monique calls, because she's on their way to Cleveland, she hasn't seen him in a month, and she's like, oh, guess who I'm with? And I'm like, my sister. She's like, hey there. And they're like, she called us hoes.
And she's like, I said hey. And she's like, oh ha. And that's what they do, is they try to start shit and then they laugh about it.
Yeah.
But even Monique's like, here they go, starting shit again.
And the thing is, what Monique cannot do, sadly, because one part of her loves to engage with them. One part of her needs to fight to feel like she's a victim.
Oh, for sure. And I was watching this going, I mean, I kind of knew, but I was watching, even when she later meets Derek, I went, why is Monique on her best behavior? And then I realized why. Because she was kind of not, she was trying to act so easy and breezy, and that's not her at all, y'all.
No, she needs to be looking at his phone.
Like her sister, I really like her sisters.
Calandria and Sylvia.
Sylvia. And like Sylvia said, like, if you need to be on his phone doing that shit, you don't have trust anyway, right? And she's like, well, but anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. What we'll get to now is, y'all, Derek cheated on Monique, so he's going to buy her a candle.
Yep. That is the ultimate, I'm sorry I stuck my dick in another woman.
Yes, gift. Poodle. What is that Bath and Body Works candle fragrance name when you've cheated on your girlfriend? What fragrance do you buy? Juniper Breeze? Sun Ripened Raspberry? What do you buy?
Coffee.
I love the
traditional candle gift that says "Sorry, I cheated" is nectarine.
Nectarine. Okay, there you have it, everybody.
That is so. Remember,
if you get a nectarine candle from your boyfriend, he cheated.
It says "Sorry, I only prefer your snatch."
That's it. What wasn't the card good says. Snatch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is funny. Nice. It is funny to get gifts that feels like an "I'm sorry for cheating." That it's just a candles and some roses. It is. Hopefully, they've had a conversation before this. That's not just. But I doubt it.
But I doubt it.
So they are meeting, and you're right. She is saying, it's so good to see you. And he's like, well, how about now that I gave you these flowers and these candles, let's go to the hotel and have some makeup sex. And she's like,
just
sit down here.
Let's sit. And she says, well, what do you want, Derek? If you don't want to be with me or if you want us to be friends, that's okay. And I went,
this is so shitty.
Not okay.
This
I was like,
is
that
so
is not
shitty.
Okay. You're going to scream at him and read him for filth.
Well, the thing is,
if he said
the thing is, she needs him to be always apologizing to her. That
always.
Is her kink.
That
she
gets her power.
Yeah. And she needs to be calling in shits with him always. She needs to be saying, you did this to me. So blah, blah, blah. Remember? So you need to always be bringing me something. It's, y'all, no one is happy in a relationship like this, either partner, no. Because the one who is always being the victim is never feeling like the person is giving them enough. And the person who's being penalized for every little thing is feeling exhausted. It's not love. You're wasting your time.
You heard it here first, gentlemen. Poodle does not want you to feel indebted to him and give him gifts all the time.
No, you can do that. But I'm just, weirdly, I won't feel bad about it. I'm an ethical slut.
Just yes.
I have a different source of ethics.
She read the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I read that book and I was like, this is talking about me.
It's talking about me.
That is a book, The Ethical Slut. I used to sell it.
I've never read it, but a lot of people like it.
So,
yeah, y'all, Jesus doesn't care if you suck a dick. Do remember, what you want.
So they sit down and she's like, I got to tell you something. That's why she's being so nice. I'm late. He's like, whoa, this is a lot like, right now.
For what? She's like, with my period. So, yeah. And she's like, and then she immediately calmly says, well, I thought you'd be excited.
Don't you want the baby? I thought you'd be excited. Now, y'all, we are not even established. We haven't taken a pregnancy test. She's just saying she's late.
This is a test. Yep.
I would be surprised if she was even late. I think she's just fucking with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, why wouldn't you be excited if I was? And he's like, and this is someone who's just cheated on you. And he
and just says, got out of prison 2 months ago.
Rightly. This sounds like something you're doing to trap me.
Right.
Because that's what Monique would do.
Yes, it's their responsibility. They both had unprotected sex. However, it is something Monique would do. Remember, y'all, too, she talks about she's still carrying, you know, she lost a child. And so
Right. I always forget about that.
I think this is definitely like, this is for sure end game for her is to have a baby
with
whoever. She might not care who.
The thing I kept thinking about is like, it's crazy. It's been 2 months. It's been like 2 months. This is the same person who put trackers on his phone, wants to know where he is.
Wanted to put cameras in his house.
Did you hear what she said? It was actually quite exhaustive. I had to go through your call logs and this to find out. So
it wasn't like y'all fessed up and told her he cheated.
No, she called you out on it, and then she had to drag it out of you. But the thing is, everything's fine because he basically says he went back to her. What she wanted, was him to say, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I fucked up. Okay, I'm your slave now." That's it. That's all she wants.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, she's almost, I'm not saying she wants this, but a part of her needs him to cheat again. Part of her needs to always be punishing him for something.
He needs to always be fucking up.
Yep. Yep. What a horrible, horrible life to be in one of those relationships. If you are, y'all, leave that as soon as you possibly can.
They both are using each other for different means.
Boy, it's bad.
It's bad.
On
that note, we're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we'll talk about Justine and Michael.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com
/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Sorry for the long commercial break, everyone. I was waiting for Poodle to get comfortable because we had to take off the sweater. We had to put it on. We had to put it over
my arms
shoulder.
Out of my cardigan, and now it's around my shoulders, and my arms are free to gesticulate wildly.
Which I appreciate, but if I had a dollar for every minute I waited for you to get comfortable.
Well, I will say I get cold in the backs of my shoulders, but the fronts of my shoulders, like where my underarms are, I get quite hot. So it's good if there's something around me. It's why shawls work very well. No one gives a fuck about this. Even I know that. Justine and Michael. I could talk about my comfortability levels
for a long time.
And the reason why I have them.
We don't have, for a
very long time.
Yeah, Justine and Michael. Okay.
We're taking the kids to self-defense class, jiu-jitsu, really.
Yes, and because what is his name? I wrote
Santana.
It Santana's being bullied a little bit. I think this is good. I think this is good taking, if I had a daughter especially, I'd want her to go to self-defense class. But I think for any kid, as long as you're not telling your kid, hey, go beat people up.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I'm going to introduce a new segment. I know you love when I do these on the fly without talking to you. It's like when you tell me something about the podcast and surprise me on air, which I
despise.
Yeah,
but you like that.
No, I hate it. I hate it. So this is another segment called Prison Lessons for Children. Bring.
Bring.
Remember, kids, once you whip one person's ass, everybody's going to chill out. Kind of like one time we were in the yard, and all of a sudden someone took my last piece of government cheese, and then I shibbed them, and then no one bothered me anymore. This has been Prison Lessons for Children. Da 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 da.
I mean, I did kind of, my eyes went big, but at the same time, did your father, I think probably your dad did, but my father said the same thing. He said,
no one ever told you that.
Matthew, anybody picks on you, son, you kick their ass. I'm telling you now, you kick their ass once and ain't nobody going to bother you again, son. That's right. I once got in a fight with Matt Metzer during a football game. And after that, no one fucked with me anymore because I won. Same thing happened with Paul Smith. He was in karate, and my mom said she looked out in the backyard, and we were playing, and she said, I thought, I need to go out there because he's mad at me. And he said something to me, and I said,
you said
yeah.
It never happened again. So it did.
Well, we're in the same group. He means like in the group of people. Paul Smith didn't know Matt Manter.
I assume it's not honestly, Paul Smith, the designer.
No. Oh, my God. I just got that. That could have been somebody I went to high school
You did
with.
Not go to grade school
no.
with Paul Smith, the designer.
Is Paul Smith, the designer, the same one I used to walk up the street just because he had a pool?
And probably did he have a fascination with monkeys even then?
No.
Okay. So it's established you did not go to elementary school with Paul Smith,
the designer. Boy, that was close. What if he's from Lone Grove?
Anyway, he did take karate at the time, though. And he looked at me and he said, he literally looked at me like out of a movie, like got in karate stance and did like some type of like high, whatever, some type of like yelp. And I just looked at him and I just punched him in the face and he started crying. He said, "You weren't supposed to use that move." And then he walked home.
I was told never to hit anybody else. I was told
if someone hits me, you hit them back. That's what I was told.
I was not
I'm not saying
that.
That's right.
No, I just
I'm not
was,
saying it's right, but yeah.
I was not taught that. Because I was said my father said bullies, if someone hits you, they're a bully. And hitting them back is just makes things worse. He's like, if you need to defend yourself, you can. He's like, but never throw the first punch. Son.
Oh, that's what my dad said. He's like, you defend yourself. But Matthew, if I ever hear that you're the first one to throw a blow, your ass is grass and I'm the lawnmower, son.
But I never got in fights. I don't think I was ever in with, and I was picked on a little bit, but I think... I never really engaged enough to, because I think to get in a fight, you have to engage a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do that. Just me as a child, I was a very pacifist child. Didn't like pugilism.
And you're still a placebo.
and now I only get violent in the throes of intercourse.
You hit me.
Well, you deserve it. Very different.
Yeah, you might want to help your better help for some of you might need that.
Well, no, you just have this, sometimes you have this look on your face. You just need to be smacked.
Well, next time you smack me, I want to say, what would Father Poodle think?
He'd probably hit you too.
So anyway, but I do think it's good that it's good that they're just teaching them self-defense. So they're doing this thing and this kind of ruined this plot point a little bit because we just had our interview with Justine and Michael.
Yeah.
And we asked them, you know, I think you asked them, what did they love most about the other person? And Justine loves how Michael has stepped up to be a father for her children. Yeah. Like that's really,
I think it reinforces it. I mean,
it reinforces it, but it lets us know kind of like, I think that I really love this moment of Justine using this vulnerability. And I'm glad to see though that,
right.
Again, even seeing this, like think about this. So she's talked to her mom. She talks to a New Jersey wife about the, Justine. Well,
we got a little clarification. It's more of a Rhode Island longer accent.
Yeah,
that Long the mom Island, has.
The mom has. And yeah. So.
And when I asked Justine why she doesn't have it, she's like, it comes back, but she's like, I've been in Pennsylvania for a long time.
And so she's talking to her mom about, I'm just so fearful because we don't know a lot about Justine's past, but we find out in this episode she said verbal and physical abuse, and that a lot of
in previous relationships,
and her kids have just wanted a father. But
and what's interesting is she's like, and I could not. She says seeing Michael be good with the kids brings up a time where I did things wrong in raising my kids. And
it's shame spiral she's in, yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch, but her feelings are so valid there because mm-hmm. she's seeing something and realizing, I'm seeing my kids be happy, and they weren't happy for so long with the people I chose to be in relationships with. And
I think she's crying for them, and I think, honestly, she's probably crying that she – because
she'd let it happen.
Happy, but yeah. No, but she probably, I wouldn't be surprised if she's crying that she didn't have that either.
Yeah.
Probably.
And so y'all, they're out for a walk later on. And
her
she
and
tells,
Michael.
Yeah, she tells him about the kind of how she feels watching him and her kids. And she's like, I know I failed them. And it's hard to have that attitude. But at the end of the day, she's like, you know, I was responsible. But when you're in it, you can't. Don't know if anything is, you don't see the problem. But she's basically saying, she's talking about her failings as a single parent. And it's, you basically, and Michael's like, well, I would think you would feel relieved that I'm stepping up to do that. And it just tells you that's good that he's expressing his kind of, like, he's like, he doesn't understand why she feels bad about it. And she goes through and says, I had physical and verbal abuse. I sometimes was deprived of food and even a place to sleep. And at that point he goes, I never heard that. And then
again, it's so great how, especially on Lalu, a lot of people would take this personally and say, I'm not like that. How dare you think that I would do that? And Michael doesn't take that all. Instead, he says, again, this line, he says, if she's broken, I'm broken. Yeah. And I went,
and then,
oh my God.
At the end, she says, please don't hurt me because I can't handle it. And I really like them. And compare this to TC and Amber screaming at one another near the end.
I have a theory about that.
Or Tater and Chance. Aggressively
hiding in the bathroom.
Hiding in the bathroom with bills.
Whoa. All right, that's their segment. Let's talk about Sean and Sarah. God, so many couples. Okay.
Six.
So Sarah, basically, y'all.
The baby that looks just like Sean.
Sean's playing video games and Sarah's like, come upstairs. By the way, I will say Sarah in her testimonial looks the best she's ever looked.
Confessional.
Yeah, yes. She looks the best she's ever looked.
I agree.
It's a great hair color for her.
She's gotten away from the bad eye makeup.
Carrot top red hair.
She's still a little orange, but it is heads above how she's looked before.
Heads above. And she, didn't know I was going to relate to Sarah so much, but Poodle, we're doing this show on video. Show of hands if you have never been in a sex sling.
I actually haven't been in one.
What?
I've never been in one. No.
What?
No. Never been in one.
What?
I think one guy did have one before. And I was like, I don't need some newfangled machine.
Oh, well.
I think for me, I like to be active. I like to be crawling all over the place like Gollum. And I don't want to.
That is accurate.
And to be in a sex swing, I don't like to feel, without being too graphic, not that that's already happened, I don't like to feel like I'm not active in my lovemaking.
So basically you fuck people like that fungi from The Last of Us. Just
yes.
That's Poodle, y'all.
I don't want to lay there. I know that's more your style. So
no, I think you actually are speaking to what you do not know.
Because
if you've never been in a sling, it's a different thing.
Okay. Great. I don't want to know anything about you. So
I'm just saying, don't knock it till you try it.
I don't know. Seems like
good for Sarah though. And her mom helped put it up.
And her mom installed it. She's handy, that one.
That is. I was like, wow, that is, I guess, a supportive mom. But what we really find out is I don't blame Sarah for thinking this way, because y'all, if Sean's not fucking her, then what, like we joked about it, but literally, what does Sean give to a relationship? And y'all, she had a baby. She probably goes through what a lot of people go through when they have babies, of not the body changing and things like that. And they weren't having sex for a while.
This is a normal story for me. This is the most normal this couple has ever been. It seems very normal.
It's normal, however, I do think it's a red flag that Sean is not wanting to have sex.
Okay.
Think about what we have known from Sean from all these seasons of Love After Love. That's all he does know how to do and wants to do.
True.
That's all he wants to do. So it's a weird thing.
We haven't seen him after some men don't find women as attractive right after they've given birth. So that is a thing. And so we've never seen him with the mother of his child before. So maybe that's when he, in the past, he's lost interest. I don't know.
Well, Sarah says to him, she's like, now do you feel like you can just do whatever you want because I'm trapped and I have your baby and I can't go anywhere?
It's like, and I need to go play video games.
It's with his kids. He basically says, well, I've got 8 kids. And he tries to use Destiny line. I'm busy, dude. And yeah, you are busy. You've got 8 kids.
And he says, I'm tired. And in that moment, he's like, John, I can see you're not even aroused. Basically, I can see you're not even hard for me. And she's wearing a little negligee. And the next day, that night, she says, I can't remember the last time we had sex.
She just wants to be loved. She just wants to be loved, and she's not getting it.
And so she made him his lunch, says, we don't got any bags. Her mom is over, who I always say looks like someone who's had quite a hard life.
I'm pretty sure the mom is our age, and she does not look it.
And she's like, I want you to, the mom's going to watch the new baby while she's running errands. And she's like, well, you look awful fancy to go to the store. And but really, she's like, I know I told my mother I was running errands, but really, I'm meeting Anthony. I've been texting with him. That is my daughter's biological father.
Who so, she has never met.
The mother has never met.
No, the daughter has never met.
Oh, that's right. The daughter's never met them.
Yeah.
And she said, this is what gave me a little pause. She's like, we never really broke up. I went to jail. And we were doing drugs, and I would kind of know how he is. I wanted to know if he's sober, wonder if he wants to be a part of his daughter's life. And the last thing we see is, hi!
Yeah, you could have done this in a phone call.
I agree. This segment felt, besides the sex swing, this segment felt, this is not a lot of soft pedaling stuff for them, because I want something to actually happen.
I hope so too.
Sometimes that won't happen in Lila.
Oh, believe me, y'all. If Kelly has her way, she's going to show up for Sean. Something's going to happen.
Oh, what color hair will she have this time?
Let's actually, because they're really short, let's talk about Tater and Chance, and then let's end with Puppy and Amber. How about that?
Okay, that's fine.
Y'all, Tater, we call her Tater because, well, she is
because,
a Tater.
Come on.
Come on. Although, Tater, she kind of got sassy this season.
And she looks so good this season.
She looks
season.
Great.
The hair isn't like that frizzy, dirty blonde.
No. And she's not even talking as much in that voice.
Her voice is a little lower.
Maybe these pregnancy.
Maybe
these,
the
like,
pregnancy hormones
are making her voice down
and
here.
And she's kicking. And maybe they're making her smarter.
I think, though, Tater, I think this is a thing with Tater. Once she gets comfortable enough with men, then she's not playing this all the time. No, she's like, so when are we going to talk about, when are you going to help me build the crib?
Exactly.
Crib. Thank you all for our the reaction we had to our Natalie / Bachelor Guy dramatic reading on our Toe podcast. We had a really good time doing it.
Enjoyed it. So
she's 33 weeks pregnant, y'all.
She's 33 weeks pregnant, and he's been out of prison, I think it says 11 months. Now, we see the segment starts with Chance, like we said, calling the credit card companies, and they're literally saying he's overbalanced, all this shit. And so,
and they don't have enough money to pay all the bills.
No, and she wants him to put the crib together.
Lights off at 8 p.m.
He's like, yeah, lights off at 8 p.m. And he basically says, let me go take a shower. And so he goes in the shower, turns on the shower, and pulls out this massive amount of bills. And he's looking through them, and he's saying, yeah, I can't pay the bills this month. I can't pay.
I want to see Tater saying, why are the bills always look like there's water on them?
Yeah.
Why do you have, why did I find a bill where I keep my tampons and my aspirin? Why do my bills smell like Pantene?
Yeah.
All Oh, Tater.
And so, now, and Tater. Also, y'all remember, Tater still doesn't want to get married. She wants to wait until, which means all these bills, this credit is in his name, not hers.
Yeah. So I went, it's maybe she's the smart
one.
Is
she smarter than, is she like, what's his name from The Usual Suspects? Been walking with a limp out along.
Well, you're, it's Kevin Spacey. We've really got to stop. You really stop bringing that up because I want the least Kevin Spacey as possible on our podcast. I know.
what other movie is there? A movie where a guy played somebody and then at the end fooled someone, or a woman fooled someone at the end? I need another. Give
There's
me another.
There's
got
to be more. There's no, got to be more.
Give me another reference, sissies. Give me a reference.
I'm sure we can find one. Who becomes the kingpin? Who you don't think so? Who you don't think is that way? There's got to be something. I'll think about it. I'll give you one.
Please, sissies will do it. You won't think about it. You don't have to.
I don't want to either. So y'all,
you won't. That's why sissies are gonna do it.
He has 7 credit cards. And
funny thing, when you get a credit card and pay for 3 months,
and you pay for it,
giving you
everyone's sending you stuff.
I mean, you want to say he's dumb, but y'all, this guy's been in prison for a while. He's emotionally immature. I bet he probably has some type of, like, he needs to go to probably Debtors Anonymous. Like, I think this guy robbed bank. Like, I think he has an addictive personality with money specifically. So I think that would be a great program for him.
He's not going to do that.
And I don't mean it as an excuse, but we don't teach people about finances.
We do not.
Especially in this country. And
we do not.
And what is happening is exactly what the credit card companies wanted to happen.
To me, this is also an extremely normal story.
Yes, it's very normal.
Now, if you would have watched their previous seasons, you would have seen more abnormal behavior, like fucking in a graveyard.
Making your sister coming back from rehab and sending her to live in a halfly renovated garage.
Yes, I hope Bobby's doing well now. Wherever she is.
I think she's out in Arizona.
Yeah. So he keeps getting calls and not answering. So there's, I'm hopefully.
Yeah, they're putting together the crib and someone calls. She's like, who's that? Y'all, it's a debtor. It's a creditor. Sorry,
it's almost certainly a creditor.
Certainly.
She's like, one of my friends. He's like, one of my friends. Well, I want to know all your friends.
If someone called me, I would tell him. I'm like, just tell her. It was a creditor, but he didn't want to because she's going to be pissed.
Well, and because she's been so much of, there's just another bill, just another car payment. And it's when she does get serious about something, you can never take it that way because it's just in this voice all the time.
You will get it done.
You will get it done.
It is like that.
Okay, Puppy and Amber. These two just feel like getting into a warm drunk bath.
True.
Coming home to Puppy and Amber, y'all, a very dysfunctional codependent relationship between two women who were a little more than friends in prison.
Who have always been trauma bonded and are even more trauma bonded now.
And also sold drugs together, got incarcerated together.
If we need to walk this back for people, I believe they met in prison, and along with Amber's mother, who had also been in prison, they decided for Puppy to date this one guy.
No. She was going to date Vince, and then Vince was going to adopt Puppy as his daughter.
But they all were scamming Vince. The three of them were scamming
Vince. They were scamming him.
The whole time.
Yes. Even though he was a terrible person. But especially with Amber's mom. Amber's mom was very involved.
Very.
Yeah. So that's how they met. Last season, there was a scene which I still am in disbelief was on television. And I think it meant so much. A whole plot. And we saw a little bit about this is 3 months now after Amber had an abortion. And we saw them go through, they could not get an abortion, because in Georgia, because of laws changing. And if you're listening from around the globe, if you're listening, you just a quick Google will give you that Roe versus Wade was overturned this past year, and so a lot of states have made very restrictive laws about women's health in that amount of time, and it's not very easy where they are for Amber to have to get access to an abortion, reproductive health, or anything like that. So the states are making it much harder to do that.
They are. And coming from Puppy's perspective, if you were watching this, Puppy lost a child.
Yes.
So that she was pregnant with. So that would kind of, at the end of the season, that's kind of what they came together because they had been fighting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they...
An incredibly important part of the last season. It just was just to be on television.
If you're new and you haven't seen, it was great. It was riveting. It's very hauntingly sad, but riveting television. But so that's kind of the we talk about this because when Amber says TC only knows kind of the Puppy of late, like TC doesn't really have the context for their relationship because they were also white prison wifeies. They were bunkies. Like they were.
And they were kind of trying to get together on one of the seasons of Love After Lockup.
The first one I think we watched is when they were trying to work it out and be a couple.
Yeah.
But they're just, there's a lot of reasons why they can't work it out.
It is a soap opera with these two.
I will say in this season, they both look really good.
I agree. I'm so happy to see Puppy looking better.
Yes.
And I'm sure. And I think what's interesting is Puppy is dating this, or basically living with this guy named Eric, who is, as I said, I've said before, looks like he buys all his clothes with Marlboro Bucks. He is something to see. Compression socks and all. He also has health problems, so I don't want to really come hard for him. But Eric is a kind of a tough person to watch.
He was in this nice house, and we find out now that it was his mom's house. He got kicked out of that house. He's dealing with this shitty divorce and his ex
who won't divorce him. Yeah.
None of that really matters, y'all, because the storyline we really...
They're $50,000 in debt.
Oh, yeah. What we really care about, though, is Puppy and Amber. That's end game for everybody. That's the relationship we care about.
Yeah, agree. And she's basically, I'm okay, but I have a lot of depression. I gained a lot of weight after the abortion. I'm depressed all the time. She's like, I'm not going to go take drugs. So at least that's there. But TC does not like Eric or Puppy, doesn't want them around her. And after that blow up last season where they had basically a knockdown drag out fight with each other at TC around TC's kids. And he doesn't want to be around any of this drama, for lack of a better term. And they're drinking at the Sticky Cactus
Sticky Cactus.
And there's like a tequila run going, just staring up at him.
They're drinking, and also kind of what the dynamic is happening is they both do this in their own way, but it's Puppy that kind of manifests this first. Is they do get jealous of one another's relationships.
They do
with other guys because they both really love each other and can't be together. Pardon me. And Puppy kind of starts then testing, like, well, we're fine now, but I can't come over because of TC, because TC doesn't like me. And Amber never really says why. She except for the blow up and the fight, and that's what we're left to believe. But later, so they're drinking, and Amber calls TC to come pick them up.
Come get me. I'm too drunk.
And they're standing outside, and she's like, I'd go home with you, but I can't. You know he's not going to want it. So Puppy's already making it. It's a big deal that she can't go.
And she's saying, put him on speaker. And she's like, can I stay on the couch? And y'all... That basically someone like TC, like, you don't come in my house because last time in my house, you made a big mess. And TC does not forgive easily. So it's going to be interesting. So y'all. And then Puppy's like, how dare you? He's like, do you know what I did? He's like, I sent you to my mother's house to live, because that's what happened. When Amber got out of prison, she lived with Puppy's mom.
Yeah.
So
my mom never met you or anything.
Yeah. So I love Puppy's mom. I hope she's doing better. She's still got cancer. So TC gets there, kind of like, hey, and Puppy is so transparent. It's not good to see you. Nice to meet you. I'm so happy y'all are together.
Well, I think she does that because TC sticks out his hand to shake her hand, and it's so weird.
Yeah. But it's a weird thing. And then she went,
well, I think that's why she said that, because he was awkward first, I thought.
Yeah. But he basically says, and she's like, I know you don't like me. And he's like, I don't like most people. And I was like, oh, I feel seen.
It's true. It's true. And he said, but I'm really just not about, I don't want all the bullshit. And she's like, I don't want to make it awkward. But Puppy genuinely, she's like, I'm really sorry for what happened. I'm sorry for that. And she says,
I'm not a drug dealer.
I'm not a drug dealer for real. For real.
I just loved that statement. I'm not a drug dealer.
And that's going to come up because he thinks that they're drug dealers.
Did you hear her call TC? See, transitional center.
Yeah.
And only someone who'd been incarcerated would say transitional center.
I loved it when she said in her talking head thing, she said, so yeah, he thinks we're drug dealers, but we came a long way from not being drug dealers. So be cool.
Be cool, man. I have a real soft spot for these two. I'd watch them on as many seasons as possible.
Oh.
There is a feeling of sadness about certain parts of the South that is pervasive in their segments, but I really have a soft spot for these two.
Yeah, I get it.
So basically TC says, my opinions are the same. I just don't really want to be friends with her. And later on, Amber and TC are at home drinking more. Never really a good option if you're wanting to fight. And obviously Amber's self-medicating because she's still probably dealing with a lot.
As she said, in their garage bar, whatever the fuck room this is,
yeah.
I mean, but she says, like, I'm not doing drugs, but I am drinking.
Exactly. And I guess that's harm reduction, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, so... She basically, he said, I don't want her here. And he basically says, so were they drug dealers? And this is a moment where she said, you're the one who, and she's like, she kind of looks at him and she said, you're the one who told me. And she kind of gets this look on her face that's like, oh, the cameras are on.
Because she told him this off the air, off camera, and she is pissed. That is what I got too.
Do you think it felt like she freaked the fuck out because he said it. Yeah, and she said it on camera.
And Puppy's gonna hear this.
And
who knows what a fucking police or law enforcement could say with this
she
on camera.
She freaks out. Refuses to film, shut it down. They have a big fight. He's like, you told me that. Now, so there's two ways to see this. That TC just either inferred that they were drug dealers or that Amber told him off camera that they had been doing some scurrilous things. And
I think she told him off camera by the look on her face. Because we've seen
That's what happened. She kind of like smiled.
Amber can talk out of both sides of her mouth.
She can.
Way more than Puppy. Puppy can't hold it in, but Amber can.
Puppy will lie, and you can tell she's lying.
Yes, because her eyes are huge. It tells you everything.
Puppy. I'm just so happy to see Puppy well, because last season I was like, Puppy doesn't look good. Puppy.
No.
I was afraid we're going to lose Puppy.
This fight goes from 0 to 1,000 in like 10 seconds. And that's because she's pissed because she's like, fuck.
And Puppy's going to find out.
Puppy's going to find out. What if something happens to Puppy? We can't film. Like, fuck. It all just got thrown in her face. It's like when Poodle gets caught by someone's husband. It's just like a cat in a corner, y'all. It's true.
But then if you pet me a little bit, I'll stick my ass in your face and flick my tail at you.
Yeah, I don't want to know that. Y'all, that's your show.
That's your show.
That was the first episode.
Lilu, season 4, episode 41, beta, I don't know.
It is, I wrote it down, but.
And the episode's called Habitual Offender. But yes, which is now is. Blaine is a habitual offender.
I wrote this down. I guess it's not there. Yeah, he's a habitual offender. So, look, if you want to listen to more, it is now. This episode was just kind of fair, but this is our favorite show we cover, y'all. So, yep. If you do want to hear us talk about this more,
in general, yeah,
yes. If you want to hear us talk about, you're gonna have to join Reality Gates Plus at the $8 tier, whether it's on Patreon or on Supercast. So, you can find that information on our website, realitygates.com, or in this podcast on the free feed. There's a little. There's a little link with our Patreon Supercast. Just click on those links. But
with that, you will get things like Reality Gaze Graveyard Theater with two ghosts and or possibly two dolls who were in the house. Yes. We've had some really inspired theaters.
We have. A lot of crazy shit happened.
This is the craziest fucking show that we cover.
It's the craziest fucking show.
I love it.
It's just kind of like they don't mean to be. Who was it that we were talking to? I don't remember, but someone said the thing is, she's like, it's not funny, but when people especially are on drugs, sometimes shit they do is funny, but it's sad. But sometimes it's funny.
They're not wrong.
It was not good when Lindsay typed in fucker or carved in fucker.
Fucker. Scott's desk.
Desk, but it was kind of funny.
It was really funny, especially when she talked about prison makeup.
She talked about prison makeup. It was funny, y'all.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
So we hope you enjoyed as much as we do. Again, go to realitygaze.com. But until then, everybody, go to our website, our Instagram, our Twitter, all that good stuff. Check our memes, I'm sure. There's always a Lalu meme coming from our producer, Christina and Caitlin. But I think that's about it. So as we always say, we will what,
next
Poodle?
Next time, we will Lilu you later.
Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.